And now, with the deepest respect, humble fealty and deferential obeisance, the BBC tugs on its forelock, wipes a tear from its eye, and brings you this loyal tribute to great monarchs of the ages, crowned Huds. Starring Roy Hudd, Chris Emmett, Jude Whitfield, and Jeffrey Holland, it's Crowned Huds, Volume 1, concerning the life of that merry monarch, King Charles II, known to diverse diarists as Odd Stewart.
Samuel Pepys, Secretary for Admiralty Affairs, his diary, Monday the 1st of June, 1669. Feast of Seraphic Cecilia, the serene and staunchly celibate patron saint of denture fixative. This day did betake myself to Tyburn, where I saw a dozen hangings, 7 beheaded, 3 disembowelments, and diverse torturings and mutilations. Oh, I do like a good evening at the theatre. Indeed, 'tis wondrous to think 'twas only 9 years ago such pleasures were forbidden, until our good King Charles II, the well-known sequel, was restored to the throne. His interest encompassed the arts, science, and even architecture, overseeing the rebuilding of the capital since that mysterious great fire. And yet, dear diary, all is not well at the royal court, for besides his numerous courtesans, our gracious sovereign haveth a wife, Catherine de Braganza, known as Di for short. Looketh better written down, that one doth. And this very day, whilst I was on naval business at the palace, methinks I heard them exchanging quarrelsome words.
Oh, crikey. Oh, where's one's belly thrown? We need to sit down. Too much. Just look at these bills. Like a heavy bread, man. How's one going to pay for all this? Frock, coats, high heels, satins, brocades.
Oh, come on, Chazza, get real. I need nice clothes.
You, these were for me.
Oh, Chazza, you're a drag. I thought being married you would be fab and switched on and groovy.
At this stage, I should perhaps point out that despite this being the swinging 1660s, King Charles's wife is, in fact, Portuguese.
Caramba! Madre de Dios! Sardines and a sauce of tomato.
She hasn't worked since El Dorado, you know. Your Majesties, if I might crave your gracious attention.
Santa Maradona, who's behind the pillar? The weirdo with the hinky fingers and the hat that is cocked.
Your Majesty, I have the report you requested on the state of our Navy.
We thank you, Mr. Pepys. Is this the document? Let's see. Samuel Pepys. His survey into ye fifth and vessels. Failing ye seven seas under the British transit. Still writing with a lisp, I see.
Regrettably foe, Highness. I've written to many a doctor requesting a little succor.
Oh, yes.
No luck. Well, I managed to annoy a few receptionists, I can promise you. Perhaps I should tell you my main recommendation.
To restore our Navy? Oh, speak on, Mr. Pepys.
The entire Navy needs to be rebuilt, extended.
Someone want an extension? Here, I tell you what, don't do nothing till I give you a quote. Few breeze blocks, nice bit of plasterboard, some stone cladding. Got a load left over from doing buck house, know what I mean?
Oh, Pepys, we don't believe you've met Christopher Wren, have you?
Yeah, Crazza to me mates, that is. When's the name, renovation's the game. Here, how are you off for churches? I've got a job lot of spires, just come in. Right off the back of a wagon. Bit of luck, that. I mean, you might never have realised that the whole of London needed a spot of work.
Spot of work? It's burned to the ground, devastated.
Oh, to the untrained eye, yeah. Nothing that a new damp court and a couple of coats of eggshell can't fix. Anyways, better do a little bit of business, know what I mean? Here are your kingness, them dodgy receipts you asked for.
Oh, yes, thank you. One will get them off to the insurance right away.
Time for the big one now. Wheel it in, boys!
I'm ready.
Steady! Thanks, lads. Back to Pickford's. Here you are, Governor. Have a butcher's at this. The new St. Paul's gaff. Took me hours to think this one up. What do you think, Majesty? Shall we go for it?
Well, one thinks it really is appalling. I mean, this confounded modern architecture is like a carbuncle on the face of an old friend. An abysmal and tasteless personification of all that is crass and barbarian about the hellish modern age in which we live. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
So you're not sure? Well, there must be something you like.
Well, I tell you what, one does find that dome thingy quite attractive. Perhaps if we had two, sort of pink and wobbly. I mean, that would remind one of...
Caramba! Even now you think of your fancy swoomans. All the time you spend playing Mr. and Mistress, it makes me sick. I am going to get drunk. I will be, how you say, proper squidgy.
Oh, crikey. Thanks to one's secret service, she knows everything one does. Even one's bed is bugged. Oh, right, gentlemen, one must be going also. We have to see a man about a dog.
A dog? Something to do with his King Charles Spaniels?
Aye? Leave it out, mate. Knowing him, it's more likely to be a cocker.
Thursday, the 3rd of June, Festival of the Blessed William of Hampton Wick. Patron saint of rhyming slang. Determined to assist my sovereign by obtaining men for the Navy in the cheapest manner possible. To that end, did this morning walk the streets pressing sailors. And attracted much attention by it. So much so that I was forced to retreat into one of those newfangled establishments, a coffee house. Lloyd's by name. The most singular building, all the stairs and privy pipes being on the outside. Its interior was filled with many doleful gentlemen of a most carping disposition.
Odds, fish and damnation. Have you seen these losses? I tell you, Fopling, we're ruined. All the claims we're settling with the king for the great fire. The life assurance we paid out after the plague. The medical bills for converting all those baby boys back from roundheads to cavaliers. I just can't believe it.
Oh, we're ruined, Farquhar. I shall lose all my directorship. I shall lose my directorships, my trips abroad.
And I'll have to give up the city, the keys to the executive brothel. Ruined. What shall we do? We'll have to get jobs.
Jobs? Don't be silly. That's impossible. All our time's taken up with being MPs.
Here we are, good master. A steaming dish of the finest coffee. Guaranteed to cure quinsy, staggers, scrofulous ague, sweats, black phlegm, and the bloody flux.
No decaf then, I see. Thank you, wench, but I suffer from none of those.
You will when you've added the little tub of UHT non-dairy whitener. Shall there be anything else?
Just tell me, fair maiden, who are to those gentlemen that seem so troubled?
Investors in this newfangled insurance business, my young and comely gentlemen. I have heard tell that they have suffered grievous losses, that one more disaster, like having to pay out on the king's illegitimate twins insurance, and as they say in financial circles, the night soil will hit the fan.
The king? His Majesty also has dealings with these stony brokers?
Aye, and takes exceeding large sums of money from them.
Knowest he not what devilish rogues he art involved with? Even now they probably plan to snare him with that cruel trap from which there is no escape until death, the endowment mortgage. I must save my kings.
Not so loud, prithee, my fine limbed Adonis. I must go. The manager wants some coffee beans ground extra fine, and I got the most teeth. If that will be all.
No. Not so fast, wench. Thou can bringest me an axe, a razor-sharp saber, and three barrels of gunpowder.
Saint Saints preserve us, sir. Are you plotting to murder those insurance gentlemen?
Murder, of course not. I just need something to open this tub of UHT non-dairy whitener. Saturday, the 5th of June, feast day of the blessed Magnus the Modestly Endowed. Patron saint of Icelandic nudity. Cruelly martyred when he sat down on the old once-an-hour volcanic geyser for a quick warm and discovered his watch was 5 minutes slow. Do now greatly fear that His Majesty's search for means to support his numerous love children may have brought him to some desperate action, like causing the great fire, so he could fiddle the insurance. To this end, I have determined to gain the forensic opinion of the nation's greatest scientist, Isaac Newton. But before I do, there are more naval duties to perform. As drama critic of the Sailor's Journal, Private Ear, I must review a new play, The Enchanted Codpiece. A gripping tale that brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, girl, Sir Humphrey, thou art but an idle waster and popinjay. What dost thou upon that wall?
Is not plain, thou whoremaster's doxy? I sit!
Ah, marry, that is no wall, thou coxcomb.
That's a bit like a knit comb, only needs washing more often.
It is the very horns of a cuckold. And while thou perchest there, all gentlemen of fashion do make sport with thy wife.
Fie and pox upon you, you, for a canting knave. Shall I not descend and chastise you with my hanger? Prepare to consign thy souls to...
Moons and gods, Acne. He has fell and dashed himself to pieces. Send for the king's men.
To no purpose, I fear.
How so?
Canst thou not see they will never put Humphrey together again?
I think I prefer the book now. Now comes the horrific bit. Scenes of naked aggression, pitiless violence, and the weak being trampled bloodily underfoot. Yes, it's time for me to try and get an interval drink. Almost there, into the crush bar. I'll just go... Oh!
Here, watch it, May. You always bruise me oranges.
Snap me vitals, Nell Gwynn.
Oh, Sam Pete's as I live and breathe. Cool, what a surprise. Here, don't handle the goods if you're not buying. And that goes for me Jaffers as well.
Odds for Rukas, what's going on here? Majesty, your forgiveness, Highness, I did not recognize you.
Peeps, one has been having a most interesting discussion with this young lady. She seems set upon a theatrical career.
Yeah, I just told him I hoped to be getting to grips with a large part at His Majesty's. But he came over all interested.
Yeah, I can't imagine why, Highness. I have been contemplating your naval problem.
No need, Peeps. The ointment's clearing it up nicely.
I shouldn't have asked, really, should I? I knew it.
Incidentally, one is throwing a ball at the palace this Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes, your presence is commanded. We'll send a footman, Ryan, to sell you an invitation. Oh, is that the bell for the second act? Yes, so it is. We shall see you there, Mr. Peeps. Now, come along with me, Nell.
Oh, cheeky. You're going to give me some sort of a job on the stage?
One thing at a time, my dear.
Wednesday, the 9th of June. Feast day of the blessed Anonymous of Liechtenstein. Patron saint of Tory party donations. To continue my investigation into whether our king was involved in starting the Great Fire of London. Travelling to visit the laboratory of the scientist Isaac Newton. A ramshackle building directly overlooking that street which has been the ruin of many a young girl. Pudding Club Lane. I knocked on the door. It opened to reveal one of the most misshapen specimens of humanity I had ever seen, wizened and pockmarked. The sallow face that gazed back at me bore the unmistakable signs of years of starvation, wages, neglect, and unmentionable personal practices.
Well, just move this mirror out of your way, shall I, Mark?
Where is your master, fellow?
Walk this way, sir.
Why? All together now. Why are we going via Mincing Lane? Zunes and Odds Hernia, this is amazing. What a fantastical array of devices, sextants, compasses, even a large glistening model of the sun. Funny, I thought the Puritans had banned pin-ups.
Excuse I, sir, it be my master.
Faith, what a very singular gentleman. His clothes appear crumpled and diverse sizes too large. His arms do wave about. I can see one beady eye staring at me. Good day to you, sir. Samuel Pepys at your service.
And I, sir, am the renowned Isaac Newton. Mathematician, astronomer, and discoverer of the famous laws of motion. For example, are you aware that a body at rest will remain at rest?
Unless it's his day to sign on at the Dole office.
Quite. And every action results in an equal and opposite reaction.
Like the one I got after goosing the parlourmaid in the scullery. Oh, if faith, but she was a pippin.
What? A pippin? Where? Take cover! Under the table!
Oh, dear, dear, you shouldn't have done that, master, mentioning them fruity things as grow on trees.
What? Pippin? Oh, apples!
Dr. Newton be mighty afeard of them, sir, ever since they started falling on his head while he were discovering gravity. In fact, sir, the very sight, smell, or even passing mention of one of them siderous items be enough to bring on his condition.
Extraordinary. And the name of this bizarre ailment?
Coxtophobia, sir. Oh. Oh, it'd be pitiful.
Yes. Well, the audience and I certainly thought so, I tell you. However, I must talk to him. Dr. Newton, may I ask you some questions?
Yes, indeed, you can, sir, yes.
My inquiry, sir, concerns the Great Fire of London.
A trifling conflagration compared to the mighty constellations of space. Fascinating. The very sight of the ram entering the house of the Virgin at dusk often brings a tremor to my 6-inch refractor.
It plays havoc with his eyesight, master.
Dr. Newton.
Yes?
I would prefer your opinions as to how London's fire started. Could perhaps a very prominent person have been involved?
A most perplexing question. How did it all begin? There are those who would claim that an overturned candle ignited some straw and thus precipitated the conflagration. Look at this model. Candle, straw, straw, candle. Not very convincing, is it? A most exciting theory is that a certain sovereign, let's call him for convenience the king, trying to fiddle money from the insurance, started the whole thing while everyone was looking the other way. Well, consider. What do you think? It is surely obvious. If we weigh up all the possibilities, examine the evidence, we come to the inescapable conclusion that...
Yes?
We just don't know.
Saturday the 12th of June. Celebration of the Blessed Virginia. Patron saint of doctors and nurses. Feast day postponed due to shortage of funds there. To overcome my disappointment at Isaac Newton's failure to aid my inquiry, I spent much of the day preparing to attend the pleasures of King Charles' ball. At last, much pleased with my appearance, I hailed a transport to take me to the palace.
What I says is, hanging, drawing and quartering's too good for flaming Huguenots. Send them all back where they came from. Here, you heard the latest. Beer's going up to a penny a pint. Where will it all end, eh?
If that's the trouble with sedan chairs, you get two taxi drivers.
Here we are, Squire, the palace. Cool, half a crown, and you got nothing smaller? Cheers, Gov. You're a toff. Mind how you go. You what, mate?
Sorry.
I don't go that side of the river this time of night.
The palace was an awe-inspiring sight, ablaze with the light of hundreds of oil-soaked torches. I took my place in the queue that stretched up to the usher.
The poet laureate, Mr. Andrew Marvel, and his companion, a certain young lady of Ealing, who reports a peculiar... Mr. Titus Oates and his cousin, Mr. Titus Anute. Grinling Gibbons and Bubbles the Chimp. Her Highness the Princess Anne and a rather irritable expression.
Nerf off.
Taking advantage of the resulting confusion, I slipped into the palace, made for the extensive buffet of exotic and sophisticated delicacies, pushing past the feasting aristocrats. Soon concerned with the perennial dilemma of anyone who overindulges of the prunes in bacon. How do you get rid of the stuffed olives they put on the end of the cocktail sticks? I was experimenting with blowing them around the room when I hit an unexpected target.
Oh, wait, watch it. That went right down me front. Oh, it's you, Samuel P.
Oh, yeah, mind where you're flicking those things. Why can't you use a hanky like everyone else?
It's a smashing do, isn't it?
Indeed it is, Nell. The splendid music, the virile young bucks, the exquisitely dressed fops. Shall you be dancing?
Well, it's difficult. I don't know whether to go for a fop or a buck.
One slip and she could have brought down the monarchy there. Zunes and odd shingles. What a lot of guests there are. Your Majesty knows them all?
Oh, naturally, Pinks, yes. That fetching creature over there, she used to be Mrs. Palmer Thingy. She bore my daughter and became Lady Castlemaine. And those are some of one's sons. One made him the Duke of Grafton, him the Duke of Southampton, and one made that one Duke of Richmond. Come on, Nell, what say you and one go off and...
See if you can make St. Albans by morning. When you think of how they award titles and decorations these days, I...
Decoration? Decoration? You leave it to me, Squire. Soon get rid of all this poncy oak panelling and stuff. You do a nice bit of wood chip and a few carriage lamps. Might even get a grant.
Oh, Mr. Wren, greetings. So glad you could come.
Oh, here, your kingship. Got you some more of them receipts for fire-damaged goods.
Ooh, thank you, Mr. Wren.
Highness, I wonder if I could, have a private word.
Here, Charlie, look. There's some woman in designer clothes heading this way, and she looks awful cross.
Looks to me like she's trapped in a loveless marriage and would rather be on holiday.
Crumbs, it's one's wife. Quick, Nell, let's slip away. Mr. Pepys, if you see the Queen, could you tell her one's doing some free-range fishing in Scotland or something like that?
Well, it's a new one in 1669. Zunes and odds hangnails. This dance looks a bit too erotic for me. The men and women are coming within 3 feet of each other. Perhaps I should have a turn in the gardens. Although it sounds like my turn might be some time.
Get off, what you doing?
Oh, come on, Nell, just a little one.
That's what I'll end up with if I'm not careful.
But one's your sovereign, one has a divine right.
You're talking absolute monarch.
It's true, I tell you. Look, one knows we're from different worlds. One spent one's life living in palaces, whereas you...
Used to live in Pudding Club Lane.
Achoo! What? Who's there? Pepys, are you spying on me? What's the matter with you, man? Had some sort of shock? Your hair's gone completely white.
Yes, that's the trouble with hiding among statues, blasted pigeons, you know. Your Highness, I was just a... What's that noise?
Oh, Your Majesty, Your Majesty, you must come quickly. A fight has broken out. The Duchess of York has arrived, sire, and is scandalizing the company with her financial advisor, newly landed from the American colonies.
What? A brazen stumping. Wait till I get hold of her. But I'll teach her to show her face here.
It's not actually her face. She's showing, sire.
Now, is it true you used to live in Pudding Club Lane?
Yeah, of course it is. I had a room there right up until the Great Fire and lost everything. I was gutted. There was me room.
Methinks the mystery is solved. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favour.
Oh, blimey, everyone's at it tonight.
I've been investigating a rumour that the king started the Great Fire, and it appears you could prove his innocence. Will you come with me tomorrow and help apprehend the base villain who really ignited the inferno? Bring the blaze-making malefactor to justice and make England once again a country safe for little old ladies to go to bed without fear of awakening to something hot in their nightclothes.
Well, all right. But on one condition.
What?
I don't have to do the joke that there's a lot of arson about.
Oh, dear. Sunday, June the 35th. Damn. This diary's fast again. Before sunrise, did meet the fair Nell, and we did make our way to the haunt of him I suspect of causing our capital's conflagration. Careful, Nell. The slightest sound and our lives are in peril. We must be as quiet as mice.
Bloody mice, we'll have to get a cat.
Someone's coming. Quick, quick, behind here. As I suspected. Hold, villain! You are discovered. See, Nell? There is the base ne'er-do-well responsible for setting our capital nefariously ablaze.
Him? Oh, come off it, Peeps. He ain't the type to burn down London.
What? How dare you, Peeps? One merely came here to look into some buildings.
No doubt, Highness, but I'm afraid to say my evidence is incontrovertible. The person who started the Great Fire of London is standing behind you.
This really is remarkable. On the one hand, the king's mistress and a man who looks after sailors, and on the other hand, a prominent scientist who can do interesting things with his slipstick. So, what are we to believe? If we look at this diagram...
That's enough, Newton. I've caught you red-handed.
Oh, look out, Sammy. He's got a big glass Toblerone in his hand.
A prism, madam, a prism. And it will split Mr. Peeps's skull as easily as splitting light. I love these comedy similes.
So, it was you. Why did you do it, Newton?
Why? A scientist has a responsibility to reconnoiter, to investigate, to look at things which are normally hidden. Nothing must stop him doing that. I did what I had to do. And as for why?
Yes?
I just don't know. Now, Mr. Peeps, prepare to perish.
I don't think so, Newton. For you see, I have here in my pocket...
Pa and pshaw. What is it? A flintlock? A sawn-off musket?
No. It's a Granny Smith.
Ah, no!
Wednesday, 16th of June. Blessed celebration of the patron of undergarments, St. Michael. Did inform the authorities of the crimes of Isaac Newton, and Judge Jeffreys imposed a stiff sentence as a stern example to others. Newton's 12 hours community service and exotic foreign holiday finished yesterday. As to why he committed his crime...
Yes, Sammy, why'd he do it?
I'm just coming to that now. It does appear that the scientist was besotted with Nell and did build his great telescope so he could gaze into her room in Pudding Club Lane and thus espy on her undressing.
Saucy devil! But why did he choose me out of all the girls in that house?
With his bizarre phobia for apples, a girl who only handled oranges was ideal. It was one day when Newton forgot to cover up his telescope that the sun did shine through it into Nell's room and by its heat start the Great Fire of London.
I wish you'd stop scribbling and pay some attention to me.
I'd love to, Nell, but that's the trouble with this diary. Once I start writing, I just don't know how to finish it.
No? Then why don't you just write what old King Charlie's always saying to me?
Oh, yes, and what's that?
What do you think? And so to bed.
That was Crowned Huds, written by Michael Dines and starring Roy Hudd, June Whitfield, Chris Emmett, and Jeffrey Holland. The producer was Richard Wilson.